Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello. Come on in. Welcome to Good Things Radio, episode number 40. My name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you for being a part of the program. And I'm trying to do my best today. I'm kind of loopy, so who knows which way this could go. But my eyes are bugged out. My fingers are worn down to the nub. The nails are anyway. We've been working on peeling wallpaper all weekend. And I've always heard stories about this. And it's challenging and it's tedious and it can be frustrating. But we had our family doing it. The kids, our foreign exchange student Vivian was in there. She was actually the best. She was a master wallpaper remover. But for us, it just was not easy. And of course, we like to do things the hard way. I know they sell tools and things that make it very easy. We had like a thing that you use to score it and then you put a solution on it, but it just would not come in those giant pieces that you see on YouTube. So I'm here and I'm with you. But if I refer to something about feeling sticky or with wallpaper, you know why. This show today, though, we're going to go in a completely different direction. We're going to be talking about teens and our culture, boys and raising gentlemen, young men and young women. And what do we do about all of the spiritual attacks that we're under in our culture? And for myself, I'm still in the middle of it. My oldest is going to be 15 this year, and he's the biggest kid in our family. Everybody else is younger. So this is the first time through. But we did something a few years ago that when he became a teenager, as I look back now, I think was a good thing. So I'll share that with you. Also, what happens when you accidentally hurt your own child? Oh, the guilt. We'll talk about that and a lot more. So with that, let's jump on into episode number 40 of Good Things Radio. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, help us to remember your words in the Sermon on the Mount as our instructions for life, to strip away all that is impure, spoiled, and rotten, to seek you with clear eyes, a fresh mind, and an unblemished heart. Strengthen us for our battles. Equip us with the courage we need to be soldiers of mercy, Lord, we pray. And also help us to have faithfulness and light always. Bless our families, protect them from the enemy, and bless us with the spirit of the Beatitudes today and every day, Lord, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Be brave and upright that God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless and do no wrong.
Well, that clip is from a scene in the movie Kingdom of Heaven, one of our favorites. You can hear Liam Neeson's voice. He has such a distinctive tone. But that film is about the Crusades. And that scene that you just heard was Liam Neeson Godfrey knighting Orlando Bloom's character before he died. And I want to actually, because it wasn't the best audio, I want to actually read the words he says, not only because of that, but because I think they bear repeating as well. So here's what he says. Be without fear in the face of your enemies. Be brave and upright that God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless and do no wrong. That is your oath. And that's the knight's oath. Of course, that's from the movie, and there are many different variations of that if you look at medieval history. But, and it might sound melodramatic, I realize, in this day and age, but I don't think so, because you know, this was in a time of 12th century Crusades when the movie was set, and the enemy was clear at that time. The stakes were known. But today, I think the devil shapeshifts very well, takes many different forms, which makes the enemy even more lethal. And it doesn't matter, I was going to say, if you're any Christian tradition, but almost Christian at all, to know and feel that there is a spiritual warfare taking place, that it's real. And if especially you put on your Soldier of Christ uniform, you see it all around, from families under attack to our culture, the blurred lines of what is family, what is male, what is female, what is a baby, you know, when should or should not someone have the right to life or death, all of these things that have just suddenly become subjective and arbitrary. It's scary. And the target of this in so many ways is the family. And as parents, we're raising kids in a time where we can't even keep up with what's happening in our culture. I know for myself, as a mom, being steeped in media and the fast pace of a changing format, even then, when I was doing a full-time radio show every day and I knew the headlines and I knew the technologies and the latest apps and what's this thing called Snapchat, you know, 4 years ago, that even then I was having a hard time keeping up. So for any mom, married, single parent, dad, whatever the case might be, grandpa, grandma raising the kids, grandkids, this is a challenge. And this is a time that I think we all need to be on guard and prepared and equipped. And so that's what I wanted to park on today. And I wasn't planning on it. We were going to talk about fitness. And then I was going to talk about what happens when you accidentally hurt your child, which I did. I'll save that for the next show. But the reason why I wanted to park on this today is because we recently had a book club meeting with the ladies. And what seems to happen almost every time we get together is that no matter what the subject is, at some point in the conversation, it turns to our children and how do we protect their purity? And not only teach them rightly when it comes to morals and values and sexuality and the dignity of each person, but also to prepare them to step out into the culture that is directly opposed to everything that we know likely we're teaching them, which is the teachings of Christ and the biblical beautiful truths that contains. So it's tough. And one thing, as you can kind of look back and get the perspective of time, blessedly, in many cases, all cases, but is something that we tried with our son a year and a half ago that I look back now and I'm so glad was there and that we took hold of. And I wanted to share it with you. And again, I am no expert and we're still early on in the teenage journey, but I could recognize right away that this was a blessing. And so I wanted to just share a little bit about what we did. And it's called Passport to Purity. And I have to kind of share a disclaimer in that a lot of what I'm about to talk about is coming from a mom of boys. I mean, I have my oldest, the first one through the guinea pig, you know, he's a boy. And then the next one is a boy. And the one after that is a boy. And then, of course, we have our beautiful daughter, Carolina, and then another boy. So kind of over the years, that's where my mind has been. But I really think that these truths transcend that and are good for everybody. But if there is a mom of a teenage girl listening, daughters at all, I would love to hear your perspective too. And you can always shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. So starting with that knight oath that we just heard, starting with chivalry, that's kind of the foundation that I wanted to lay because I wanted to set a standard that was timeless. And there aren't a lot of labels that have stood the test of time. And I feel like that phrase, a knight in shining armor, really has. It's one of the few things that girls have said for centuries and still say when they dream of the ideal man, a gentleman, that knight in, I mean, even on Golden Pond, knight in shining armor. Do you remember that line? I mean, these are the men that hold the banner of light and that defend the weak. And I believe they still exist. And I think for us, moms, parents, dads who have children, it's our job, of course, to keep that legacy going, that tradition. And that's kind of the standard that I wanted to set for our son. So that is the stage that we set. He, turning 13 at the time, he's going to be 15 this year, was still at an age where we could introduce that. And he wasn't kind of rolling his eyes or like, oh, you know, he really kind of still believed in the magic of Sir Lancelot and King Arthur, and that he has a mighty role, that God blessed him to be made as a male in his image. And that comes with a responsibility as a baptized Christian and great honor. So how does he show honor to his God, to his family, and to what has been placed on him as he comes of age to be a man? So that's the context. Raising a modern day knight, that's kind of where we wanted to enter in when we were going to have this discussion with our son and do this Passport to Purity program. And you know, the age 13 for us was a good time because, especially with him being our first and oldest, he wasn't exposed to a lot of things that probably, you know, I could have this discussion in this program now with my 11-year-old, because with, you know, how that goes when you've got, you know, five kids, the youngest is way more advanced in terms of, you know, all of these vocabulary words because they're hearing it from their older siblings. So there was a level of innocence still that we knew was in our son at that time. So that's why. But for anyone, it's just, I think, a matter of discernment. If your child is 9 or 10, and the good thing about Passport to Purity is it's not necessarily anatomy, it's more dignity of the person and theology of the body and that sort of thing. I found a website that's called basictraining.org, and it's about biblical chivalry. And the first part is super awesome, and then it goes into like otherworldly awesome. So I'm going to just read one portion as we kind of set the stage. And if it's possible, I want you to close your eyes and think about this. And if you're driving, obviously no, but just still think about when this was written in the Middle Ages and how timeless and true it is today and how needed it is in this dark world that so often we're bombarded by. And it starts like this: only when we have come to faith in Christ can we truly enter into the school of chivalry. Only by new birth are we spiritually equipped to be conformed to his image, Romans 8:29. As we grow in grace, he works that conformity from the inside out by his indwelling spirit, Romans 8:1-11. It is only by increasing spiritual maturity that his glory is reflected in and through us. Is that so true? And that's so difficult. And as this amazing process takes place, we see God molding us into the person we always wanted deep inside to be. It is as if we are coming home to ourselves, and we discover in our surprise that we are ready for the battle of life. The Apostle Paul said, "I am ready." St. Paul, Romans 1:15, the battle cry of the Seaforth Highlanders. Now this is where it ramps up in the level of awesome. Every boy was created to become a hero warrior. Every man at some time in his life must face overwhelming odds and needs courage to act valiantly. When a man takes his stand as a believer to become all that God intended, he has begun an exciting adventure. For as sure as he relies on God's word and spirit to guide him, he will become a living reflection for our Lord in five areas: servant, warrior, prophet, priest, and king. As a servant, he will learn to obey God in small things. As a warrior, he will take his stand and fight for the great things. As a prophet, he will proclaim the true things of the word of God to those around him. And as a priest, he will focus on the precious things, interceding for others and pointing them to God. Finally, as a king, he will take dominion over the kingdom of his own heart, his own life, and his own home. He will wage war on three fronts: the spiritual, the social, and the cosmic, and he will win. Though he will lose many battles, he will not slink from the field. But through the dust, the blood, and the tears, he will rise up again and again to quench the thirst within him, to taste conformity to his risen, victorious Lord. The enemy within, the enemy without, and the enemy above will all taste the steel of his sword and know that they have met a man. Oh, isn't that awesome? Wow. I would love to like write that on a scroll, frame it, hang it on every school and locker room and bar, whatever else, dorm room. I mean, yes, that is the kind of message that our culture needs to hear. A couple more quotes for you. This idea of chivalry, it has its roots in biblical past. And I think that's an important thing to note because we don't want to separate that. And St. Francis himself, he was someone that wanted to be a knight. He dreamed about that. He wanted to be a soldier. In fact, he went off and became a soldier and then was a POW, and that changed his life. But he would take the songs of knights and he would change the lyrics to sing about Mary. And I love how Francis was so creative in so many ways. And of course, we know that's the Holy Spirit. But I think it's an important thing to note that when we talk of that as Christians, as believers, that it is not mutually exclusive from the Bible, that it really gets its roots there. And here's the proof of that. It's said that when Lancelot asked his mother, who taught him the code of chivalry, because chivalry, again, so it has its roots in the biblical past, if
such men actually ever existed, she pointed him to David and his mighty men, 2 Samuel 23. Of these 30 warrior heroes, it is said that 3 were greater than all the rest. But the greatest of all was David, whom God called a man after my own heart. In David and his knights, we see one of the many examples in Scripture of biblical chivalry. And then finally, of knights, St. Bernard once said this, "They are milder than lambs and fiercer than lions. They combine the meekness of monks with the fighting courage of knights so completely, I do not know whether to call them knights or contemplatives." I mean, really, wouldn't it be great if we could say that description about our spouses and our sons and the men in our lives that we know, that they have the meekness of monks, but the fighting courage of knights? So how do we do that? That's the question. So that was kind of the starting point for us. And so we decided to try this program, and driving back from Cleveland every day, this long commute that I had, it was nice because I was able to listen to different programs and really liked Focus on the Family. Family Life Matters. And that's the program, the ministry that Passport to Purity comes from. And what's nice is you can customize it, but it at least gives you a starting point. And so it comes to theology of the body. And a friend of mine, because it just depends on your philosophy, a friend of mine was saying, she read a book that said, if you don't discuss the birds and the bees with your kids by the time they're in fourth grade, that they've heard it somewhere else already. And that just to me blows my mind, but I'm not surprised. I guess I'm not surprised. But I guess for us, so, you know, some parents, it's like, okay, we're going to just tackle this head on because before you hear it from anybody else, we're going to tell you. And I don't even know if my fourth grader would understand concepts like, you know, the marital embrace and everything that occurs and the details of all of that. So I think it's also important to be prudent and discerning in terms of what exactly to tell them. And not that it's shocking or shameful or you want to, you know, not, I mean, I did not get any sort of birds and bees talk at all when I was growing up whatsoever. So I think that there's a middle ground. There's that balance that we can try, and no one knows best except parents. So for us, we kind of did that middle approach where we took a look at the human person as a whole and the connection of body and soul in each individual, because how do you talk about a woman? You know, my son, one day he came home and he's like, "Oh, what does hot mean? That girl's hot." And I was like, "Well, where'd you hear that?" And I mean, he was little. But, you know, that for us, not that that's necessarily derogatory, but I think it's important that women, if you wouldn't say it to your mom or your grandma or your sister, that shouldn't be said. And it depends, I guess, on the culture. But for us, I said, there's a better way to talk about a woman's beauty. And also, just it goes on and on, the idea that beauty's fleeting, that we're all going to be old one day. So if you focus on the exterior, it's not lasting, or something could happen. So for us, that's kind of the part where we started, the whole person and how you ought to behave, self-control, self-mastery, leadership, meekness. And then coincidentally, you know, these are all the qualities of a knight. So here's how Passport to Purity works and how we did it. It's essentially a weekend kit. And the ministry, Family Life Today, created it with this idea that it's a set of materials that lays the foundation for approaching relationships and sexuality in a holy way. It's like a coming of age experience. So that's what we try to make it be. It's supposed to be a weekend together because it's designed for like a 2-day thing. Now for us, in our window at the time, 2 years ago, we just didn't have that amount of time. So my husband carefully curated this entire one-day program and did it that way. It comes with several audio CDs. It comes with a manual. And I will say there's a bit of preparation, which is interesting because at first I was thinking, man, there's like a whole book. We have to prepare for this. But the more I thought about it, it's like the things that we should put some time in, of all the things that we should really just take a second and consider, and not just do like a flyby obligatory conversation, it should be something like this. So you gather the materials. Like my husband, one of the instructions was get photos from when he was that same age as a boy. So for him, it was when he was 13, and he had, and these are pictures my son had never seen. They were kind of tucked in his box from his mom that was in our basement. And he's in his Little League uniform with his mullet and his gold chain, very handsome. when he was 13. And there was like Play-Doh and some other things that come in as tools, I suppose, or props to give a lesson. And so for us, they did they did hiking and then mountain climbing, and then they went to dinner. And before each activity, after each activity, and then especially over dinner, you are given conversation starters like, how should you respect a woman? Now, this is not just a two-minute conversation. This is back and forth, having a talk that's meaningful and has substance. Now, this is what St. John Paul II says about that, by the way. He says, be her friend, treasure her, respect her, protect her, love her like a sister. The human heart is a battlefield between love and lust. Virtue comes from spiritual strength. Again, we're going back to the chivalry, the knighthood. Chastity is the spiritual power which frees love from selfishness and aggression. Chastity cannot exist without capacity to renounce self, to make sacrifices, and to wait. Now, do we ever hear that in our society? No, never. I want it now. I want my food now. I want my clothes now. I want my movies right now. I want the series that I'm going to watch now, and I want to binge watch it all. You know, I mean, it's so much, and we know that. This isn't new to us, but it is new to hear these truths in our culture and to our young people. If I am able to be complete just to God the Creator, I must offer Him all that is in me, my whole being, for He has first claim on it. The man who chooses virginity chooses God. That is pretty fantastic. That's kind of how we customized it, because you do have to do your homework, but that's the great thing about the internet is anything that you want, whether it was what I read earlier about the five strengths of a knight to this quote, you can put in there and not only share, but give so that it's there for your teen over the next decade and beyond and the rest of his life so he can refer to these materials. This was about a year and a half ago. And so my son, as I said, will be 15 this September. And I have to say, so far, I am so proud of the young man that I see every day. And I know that we still have a long way to go. I know it's still early, but for us, and in terms of this specific program, we loved it. And it's no endorsement or any, you know, sales. I mean, it just truly from my heart, because I see as myself and other parents, and we're in this book club, it's like, what can we do that will be lasting and meaningful that we can impart these truths to our kids? Hopefully that's one way. Also, Beyond the Birds and the Bees, that's another book that a friend of mine recommended. We haven't read it, but I want to put both of those in our newsletter. I don't know if you saw, but the last newsletter did go out in the last show, so I was happy about that. So I'll put that in if you're interested as well, and we'll get to that in the next newsletter. Also, I wanted to share some audio feedback with you regarding the culture and music. Oh man, is this a big one. This is a thorn in my side. The music. My sons have been listening to this terrible song. Okay, here it is.
You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my me on my cell phone late night when you need my love, and I know when that hotline blink that can only mean one thing.
I know when that hotline blink. And the worst part is it's catchy. These songs are catchy. Why? Oh, get behind me, Satan. But you know, it's just, I don't think this is anything new. I mean, the texting and the bombardment of apps and, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Snapchat, whatever else is out there, that's new. Music is not new in the last couple decades. And it's interesting because what I find coincidental, well, providential, I guess I should say, is my producer of this humble podcast, Mark Cumming. He is a father himself now of mostly grown kids. And speaking of music, and he's a musician, he used a technique when it comes to this. If you, like I, am having some issues in the music department and what your kids are listening to, that his girls were tuned into a particular song. And I thought that he offered some great advice. He was telling the story about how he handled this particular issue, and it really was a turning point. Thought that it would be neat to hear him share that with you. So take a listen to this audio from Mark.
Hi, Brooke, and hi to all your Good Things Radio listeners. I really love the fact that you are addressing this issue of how parents can combat the negative and anti-gospel cultural influences of the day, and especially in music. I'm a father of three, and my two oldest are girls, and they're only about 2 years apart, so they shared a lot of interest in movies, TV shows, music when they were teenagers. You know, when I was a teenager, I really remember resenting how my parents approached disliking our music. Mostly, they just yelled that it was too loud, turn it down, turn it off. You know, that music is horrible. The music of our day was so much better and all of that. And I always pledged to myself, especially as a lifelong musician, that I wasn't going to be that parent that hated my children's music and told them to turn it down. I really wanted them to love and enjoy music. But I really got concerned because a lot of what they were listening to was rap. And one song in particular, I think it was Candy Shop by 50 Cent. So you can go look up the lyric online if you want to. But the lyrics were just so bad, so sexually objectifying of women. And it was really disturbing to hear my teenage daughters singing and dancing to this song. It was almost as if the lyric itself wasn't even registering, wasn't even like getting through to them what was being said. They were just so sort of caught up in the popularity of the song or the beat or whatever. I decided that what I wanted to do was understand the lyric myself. I went online and I read the lyric and how horrifying it was. It was even worse reading it than it was listening to it. And I printed out a couple of copies of the lyrics and I set them at their places at dinner. And after we said grace, I remarked that I noticed that they had really been enjoying this song. I asked each of them to take turns reading the lyric to the entire family. If you've ever heard the song or if you decided to go out and read the lyric, you can imagine the horrified reaction on their faces and the red faces as I asked them to read these words out loud. And when they were through, you know, I simply said, so this song that you enjoy so much is basically about a man who views you and all women as existing really only to satisfy his sexual desires. And as young women, is that really what you want to listen to? Is that really the kind of man that you want to look up to? And I think this ties in so well with what Brooke talked about earlier on the podcast about chivalry. So we had a great conversation, a good back and forth. Of course, I got the dad, you know, it's just a popular song. You know, we don't really care about the lyric. We just like the beat. But it did get us into an area where they had to acknowledge that that lyric did not exist in isolation. It existed as part of that song. And I think that was really important because once they acknowledged that there's an inconsistency here in the message of a cultural influence, then they have to confront it. They can no longer say, I didn't know that, or I was just listening to the beat. And so my advice would be, if there's music or television programming or something like that, that, you know, teenagers are watching, is to engage at the level of first us understanding it as parents, and then engage with the children to make them really first acknowledge that there is that inconsistency. And then I think once they can acknowledge that, we can really begin to help them confront, you know, how do they deal with the inconsistency of that cultural influence and their own faith. So thanks for having me on, Brooke, and I hope that's a good piece of advice for your listeners.
See, now, thank you, Mark. That is what you have to do sometimes. Kudos to you on that, Dad. And, you know, sometimes it's just that smart, effective, kind of tough love that you have to do. But I think that especially now, there is no shame when it comes to the lyrics. And that really brings in the truth, especially if they know better. Because I think when you wrap up, a lot of times kids don't even think about it because it's that catchy music and that melody. And when they do stop and think about it, hopefully they do better. So just some good insight from there. Thank you so much, Mark. So there you have it, raising modern day knights and maidens, in the case of Mark. Great job there with your daughters. Thank you for some great food for thought. Thank you, oh dear listener, for being here and part of episode 40 on Good Things Radio. And time always flies, and I'm so grateful. This is the second show of 2016, and we're here because of our wonderful good friends of Good Things Radio who support the show and make this podcast possible. So if you want to join the Podbean Tip Jar program, like so many wonderful, fantastic, good friends of Good Things Radio, I can't believe I said that without stumbling. after this wallpaper day. I didn't think I'd be able to get through it. But it would be a tremendous blessing if you see value in this show. Basically, it says if you like the program, you can support it and you can pledge whatever monthly amount that you'd like, whether it's $5 or $20, whatever the case might be, to keep the show going and growing. You can find out more if you go to podbean.com or download the app like I have. My friend Christina listens via Stitcher. Most, though, listen via iTunes. So you can just hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't given us a review yet, would you think about it? A positive one, I hope. That helps others find us as well. And of course, always the feedback. It means so much to hear from you. You can reach out via feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's how you can reach us on the email. And instead of ending in prayer today, that's what we usually do. I'd like to share a poem. And this, I guess, is a prayer. In my opinion, it's a prayer that is read like a poem. But it's called The First Battle, in light of our conversation about a modern day knight. There is a battle to be fought before the weapon is in hand or the enemy is in distance to strike. The battle is in the mind, to take captives our fears and doubts, to secure our thoughts and command our mental faculties, to focus these moments of our life for a greater purpose than our own needs, our own wants, or even our own preservation, to walk into the shadow of death, placing our destiny in the hands of God, for Him, for country, for family, for the defense and well-being of others, for children yet to be born, to remove all jealousy, envy, strife, and hatred from our heart, to forgive all who have wronged us, to be thankful for all the beauty in the world and every voice and smile and friendship, to pray for our families and loved ones, to pray for our enemies as well, that in this ensuing battle, whatever the outcome, the will of God be done, to pray for courage that we might encourage others, to pray for the forgiveness of others that we may be forgiven ourselves. For if this be our last moments, we want to be right with Him. This is the heart of ancient knighthood, when every day was a battle in the mind. This is the heart of true patriots, true soldiers, and for all who serve God, the knight. And that was written by Sir R.I. Tulak. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much, friend, for being a part of Good Things Radio. You mean so much. And until next time, we'll see you on episode 41. Thank you, and God bless you.